Hello and welcome to this week's Therapy for Me. And I've done that thing where I've got up early to record, having gone to bed not really knowing what I was going to talk about, hoping that it would work its way through in my sleep. And do you know what it has? Because subconsciously I've been thinking about it. I know I've been thinking about it. I can't explain exactly how I know. I just know that I know. And I've woken up with a bit more of an idea what it's going to be like. That's a kind of weird, beautiful thing that I do, that if I'm running against a deadline and I get up early in the morning, somehow the answer has formed itself as part of the sleep process. I don't know how it works. I just know that it does. I'm constantly amazed. I now start to rely on it a little bit, though I worry about it when I rely on it, because one of these days it's not going to happen. But so far, it's done me well, and theoretically, you're going to get a TFM because it's happened. So let's crack on, have a bit of that twangy guitar, and see how we get on.
Monday.
Of course, one of the things about recording early in the morning is that you get my thick morning voice, so apologies for that. Because I've not had a brew yet, and it's going to take a while to warm up. So you've kind of got the thick one to start with, but you can deal with that. I know you can. I want to start by talking about Ian Dunt again, and I know I've mentioned Ian Dunt I think a lot over the last couple of weeks, with me starting to follow his blog. But I've been captivated by Ian Dunt for a number of years, and I first came across him with the Romaniacs podcast, and I just think he's great. But his new book landed this week, called How Westminster Works and Why It Doesn't, and I'm a couple of chapters in, and so far it's really stopped me in my tracks. And the thing is, I don't know why it's necessarily stopped me in my tracks, because it's not telling me anything I didn't actually already know. But when it's just laid in front of you so effortlessly, just with no histrionics, just plainly, and you realise how dysfunctional parts of the system are, that you actually kind of do take that kind of second and go, well, why don't we change this? Why are we doing this over and over again? And I think it talks to something that, look, I'm somebody who likes, we talked about this week, I like things, I like the security of things, and there are things, you know, that I don't like dealing with change in the same way that nobody does. And I'll give you an example. And it'll come in later on, because we're going to talk about holes in the wall, and I'm coming to the end of my a box of Wilco filler, instant filler that you use to fix holes in the wall, and I don't like that. I'm coming to the end of this box of Wilco filler because I miss Wilco, and so that's my last touch point to Wilco is this box of filler. And that marks the end of an era, and I don't like that. So none of us like change, or certainly a lot of us don't, and I don't. But in this situation, I think we need to stop tinkering, and I think this is one of those situations where we need to just think fresh, blank sheet of paper, and go again. Because the problem is, we tinker with things, and we accept the fundamentals of something, and we don't actually change it. And I'm going to give you two examples from the first two chapters of his book, and I'm only two chapters in. I'm going to get really annoyed by the end. But the first chapter is an example of a kind of a case study, as an example of why Westminster doesn't work. And it talks to how a minister, Chris Grayling, tried to reform the probation service, realistically for no other reason than for personal gain. And I don't mean that in terms of financial gain. I mean, it was a way of, you know, he had a short time window to tell the world he'd arrived and to do something. Because the thing that politicians are addicted to is doing something. And doing something means changing things. And he opened the probation service up to the free market, or portions of the probation service up to the free market. And it was a catastrophic failure. And I knew about it in the background. But when you see the story written down, you realise, why wasn't there a scandal about this? Because it was one man trying to game the system in the way that a lot of ministers do. It's not a unique story, but it left a trail of destruction and it really impacted on people's lives. And the other thing, and it's only the second bit in the book that stopped me and made me think, was this was all about, what he does is he follows the process through. He's going to follow the process through from selection of candidates to the general election, to the public's involvement in democracy in a vote, all the way through to how these new MPs start their journey through Parliament and to the passing of a law. So he's going to take us through the whole system of what, you know, the primary function of Westminster, and I guess explain along the way just why it doesn't work. And the bit where he's talking about, we've not even got to the point where we're talking about voting yet, and then I know there's going to be issues in that, but we're talking about the fact initially of what a small selection of the population ultimately determines who your MP is. Because you vote for a colour, you vote for an MP, but you don't vote for the person. The person's been selected for you. So if you are a Labour supporter or a Conservative supporter, the actual MP and that person and what that person stands for, that's already been determined for you. And a small group, you know, probably very factionalised, has made that decision before you even start. And when you start thinking about that and go, well, I'm not even locally picking the flavour of Labour MP I'm getting or the flavour of Conservative MP I'm getting, I'm just getting that choice. So if I don't like that Labour MP, but I want to vote Labour, I have no choice. And when you go back to that, you think, well, this system's just never going to work. So I've no idea what I'm going to be feeling like when I'm a bit further through, but all I'm going to do is recommend the book to you and say, look, if you want to learn a little bit more about this, this is a really straightforward, well-written example. And it's non-partisan, which hasn't been so far. So it might be worth giving it a try.
Tuesday.
For those of you who remember, I colour code my recordings. My weeks are different colours and it's a blue week. The second week of the month is always blue. So I've just recorded what I title Blue Monday. And of course, I've done it all about how Westminster doesn't work. So there's a little bit of irony in that, really. I'm going to start on the screen story. And I'm looking at a new screen. The screen that I have a screen on the wall. I use a Mac Mini, have a screen on the wall. I'm in the process of changing my setup a little bit. And as part of that process, I thought, you know what, I'm going to change my screen because I've had the screen for a lot of years. And I think I can get something that's a bit sharper and probably a little bit more vibrant in terms of colours. And so I've ended up buying a same size, 28 inch, but I've bought a 4K screen. And hasn't it been a challenge? Hasn't it been hard work? These things seem to happen in my life that I want to do something relatively simple. I want to change my screen and then it becomes an absolute nightmare. And I started researching in a way that I do now that I never used to. And I found one that I thought was great. I ordered it from John Lewis. It arrived. It was a really good deal. It got really good reviews. It turns up and I'm thinking, this is great. This has actually been proved to be remarkably simple. I think I'm going to be really, really pleased with it. And I get it out and there's nowhere to mount the bracket. And the one thing I'd assumed, and you should never assume, but the one thing I'd assumed was that all monitors would be wall mountable. So there's nowhere. Now, there is a space that you can put a bracket on, but it's clearly not designed for the kind of bracket I've got. So I was looking and thinking, the only way I'm going to make this work is to really, really faff with it. But then I looked down and realised that the way the connections were on the back, the cables, the HDMI cable and the power cable, were going to stick out proud of the back quite a long way. And what it meant was that with the messing with the bracket and with messing with the cables, this screen was going to be proud of the wall by an extra inch and a half, 2 inches than my current screen is. And one of the reasons why I like my current screen and the bracket is because it's really flush to the wall. And this was, you know, so I was looking for an improvement, an upgrade. And actually, I was going to have to cope with a bit of a bodge job to get the bracket connected because it wasn't really designed for a bracket. There were four holes in the right space, but they were inset, so it wasn't going to work for the particular bracket I've got. It's more for one of those monitor arms that people have now that go off the back of a desk. And I can't do that because my desk is flush to the wall. And they're designed for multi-monitors anyway, and I'm a single monitor kind of guy. So I then had the trauma of, well, I now need, because my current monitor does exactly what I wanted to do, which is the bracket fits flush and the cables all go up into the back of the monitor. So everything in terms of the back of the cable, it's running down. It's not running out from the back. It's running in line with the monitor. So therefore it keeps it all nice and simple and flush. You wouldn't believe the trouble I've had to find something that actually is just the architecture of my previous one that allows me to do the simple thing that I want to do, which is have a screen flush to my wall. And do you know what? This is stressful. This is stressful stuff. I find this really, as I'm getting older, I'm finding this really, really stressful. And it shouldn't be. It absolutely shouldn't be. Anyway, I'm looking at it now. It certainly looks great. It certainly looks sharper. But it isn't necessarily the one I wanted. I can't even find a review of this one. So it looks better than my current one. I just don't know if it's... I've now got that element of doubt of, is this actually the best one I could have got? Because what I've ended up picking on is actually how the cables come out the back and the cable management and whether it's got the right mounting bracket rather on whether it's a good screen. So that's potentially going to be something that's going to trigger me from time to time. So you might hear about this again.
Wednesday.
For the sake of clarity and total transparency, everything I'm going to talk about now happened yesterday. And yesterday wasn't Wednesday. Yesterday was Friday. But I'm just going to put it out there. I could have not told you, but it wouldn't have been right. So let's be honest and say that as part of forming what I was going to talk about this week, it's all about yesterday from now on. Now, one of the things Jack likes to do on a Friday is watch a movie. He likes a movie night. And for ages, he's been saying to me, what shall I watch? And then you tell him something to watch, and then he watches something totally different. But we've broken that cycle a little bit because I twisted his arm to watch Ghostbusters, and he then went mad for all the Ghostbusters films. So that worked. So there's a little bit more element of trust in those recommendations. And the other thing I've been pushing for a while, the films I've been pushing for a long while, Indiana Jones... I've been pushing those for a while, haven't got to those yet, and I've been pushing Back to the Future. And anyway, he sat down last night and he watched Back to the Future, and he loved it. And I've got nothing else to say on this other than I remember going to see that film at the cinema. I remember what a big film it was, how important a film it was at that point in my life. I think it was 86, I think I was 15. And just absolutely thinking it was great and it was funny and it was like nothing I'd particularly seen before. What an amazing cinematic experience. And Jack loved it as well. He was enthralled by it, the magic of it, the innocence of it. So I just want to, I don't know, it was just such a nice thing. It was a nice thing to have an 11-year-old wander through after watching it going, beaming, going, that was amazing, Dad. And now getting excited about the fact he's got two more of those to watch. And we seem to be picking films in trilogies at the moment. He likes the idea of trilogies. He likes the idea of an extended story. So we've got two more to go. I don't know if he'll feel the same about the other two as about the first one, but knowing Jack and his level of detail he likes to get into with things, the fact it's a fairly convoluted plot's not going to worry him. So I think he'll have an absolute blast with them all.
Thursday.
I ended up in a room with a load of saxophonists today. And I'd forgotten I was going to end up in a room with a load of saxophonists. And I didn't really know that that's what I was going to be doing. I just knew something musical was going on. And I've ended up out at a place called Stoltz Hall, which is a part of the university campus. And it's about, as the crow flies, it's about 4 miles from where I live. But in terms of getting to it, it's a slightly convoluted route, particularly at the moment because the main route, up a road called Station Road, is closed for roadworks for an extended period, which has created minor chaos in the village. And so even though that's a convoluted route, to get there now is a far more convoluted route. None of that you really need to know, but I'm just giving you it as a bit of backdrop. And it's a site where that has a very impressive Scooby-Doo type mansion-y building on it that's I think is listed, because I think if not by now it would have knocked down and it would have been houses or an extension of the complex. But it was a mental hospital, which I like that. I just like the fact it's there and that's what it was. And there's now a student, you know, block on it. And anyway, so, and we go to Stawthorpe fairly regularly because there's also a big football complex there and we play a lot of junior football there. So it's somewhere I've been quite regularly, but I've never really gone into the student campus part of it. And there's a venue in the middle called The Venue. And there was a saxophone school, an online saxophone school, were meeting for a kind of an annual or a biannual thing that they do where they all get together. And this online sax school is run by a guy who's from Australia, but just happens to live over here. And I got told about it because two or three MIA members, which is the trade association I work for, were supporting this event by taking some products along and there to engage with people. So the event, as you expect, is a couple of days, and they've got a load of seminars and sessions and individual lessons and small group things. And in the breakout time, they come out and there's, you know, two or three sax manufacturers, one retailer, with a load of stuff there for people to try. And obviously, you know, if you're a sax person, you probably have to go a long way to find that level of specialist kit and all that, also those kind of people to talk to. So they were there for that. But it was just the quirkiness of it. It was the fact that it was where it was. It could have been anywhere in the country. It could have been anywhere in the globe. The guy that's running it's originally from Australia, but it happened to be 4 miles from where I live, and it happened to have people who are members of the trade association that I work for. And so I ended along, and of course you take it all in your stride, but actually I was thinking on the way back just about the sheer randomness of it all. It's lovely that these things go on, and it's a very British thing, it's probably a very human thing, but I just like the fact that a load of people who have gone there, some of them may be local, some of them maybe not, I don't know where they were staying or what the plans were or all of that. There was definitely a few people who'd flown in. There was certainly some people who'd come in from Europe. But it was all just happening 4 miles from where I live. And those kind of things will be happening all over the country at venues. And something arbitrary will take those people to that venue. And I just love that. I just think that's great.
Friday.
We ended up in Sainsbury's last night, and we ended up in Sainsbury's because of something completely arbitrary, but at the same time remarkably important in our household, and that's the thorny topic of Weetabix. It's gone from Alison eating Weetabix to me starting to eat Weetabix to a while ago to Josh now starting to eat Weetabix on a fairly regular turnaround. And what happens in our house with Weetabix, it's one of those things we normally always have in, because Alison's very, very particular about making sure that is available for her, because you could say she's consistent, but she's a little bit boring in her choice of breakfast cereal. I'll flit around a little bit. I like to have a couple of things in, but she's solidly a Weetabix person. Now, we've got to the point where we don't buy the brand, but there are only certain types of own brand Weetabix that we will have. And we'll have Sainsbury's and we'll have Morrison's. They're the only two. We've tried everybody's, and they're the two that are acceptable. So, and Weetabix aren't cheap, let me tell you. Weetabix is one of those cereals I think that's quite... I don't know what work goes into making a Weetabix. I'm not concerned. I don't know whether there's a whole level of technicality involved and why Weetabix seem relatively expensive. And probably in the scheme of things, they're not. If you break it down on the number of Bix you get in a packet, I've never really given it a lot of thought. I'm now concerned that I might, so I want to move on quickly before I get dragged into this as a topic. For whatever reason, we've ended up liking Sainsbury's and Morrison's because they are about half the price. So consequently, because we don't go to Sainsbury's very often, we always have Weetabix in. We bulk buy Weetabix. Anyway, the unthinkable happened, and Alison yesterday morning, who normally has two Weetabix and that's the start of her day, had one left. And this was to do with some stealth Weetabix eating by the eldest. And it had crept up on us. This whole scenario had crept up on us. Anyway, this has got nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. But I'm giving you the backstory. Consequently, we end up at Sainsbury's. Because I've not had a walk, I say, I'll walk home. Because it's about 4.5 miles. And I do like walks that don't involve circles. Because if I go for a walk from home, I've got to do some form of big circle because I've got to get back to where I started. But if I walk from town back, I can walk back in a straight line. So I have a lovely walk back. And the bit I'm going to talk about is really, really short, which is I walk back with the sun on my face for virtually the entire time. I had my sunglasses on. I ended up with my thin jacket tied around my waist, and I walked home, had a nice gentle stroll home in the sunshine, and it was warm and it was pleasant and it felt like spring, and it hasn't happened yet this year. We've had glimpses of it. The days have got less rainy, but actually to walk home with the sun on my face was marvellous. And if I had got any clue about what I was going to talk about, I would have possibly dashed into the garden to record. But of course, as you now know, I'd got no clue, and I was absolutely relying on the sleep process to get us to where we are now, which is 21 and a half minutes worth of TFM. And at that point, I'm going to stop because we've done a circle. I'm going to wish you a happy weekend. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.